I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another bumper weekend of Scottish football. Old Firm fans are officially back, starting with the meeting at Celtic Park next month. The Scottish FA's KMI panel says Celtic's goal at Easter Road should have stood. And a huge weekend across the country, starting with the Championship tonight, right through to an Edinburgh derby this weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening, you have Scott Allen and Hugh Evans.
We've had some week. I've loved watching it all. Celtic Aberdeen, 6 goals. Rangers Kilmarnock, 6 goals. We've got controversy all over the place. Sam Dalby, his goal should have stood for Dundee United. Changed a home win into an away win. What's going on? And now the KMI panel saying that Alistair Johnson's cross to Daizen Maeda was in fact a goal. It's not good. Too many matches are being influenced by wrong decisions, and that includes the first cup final of the season. Got to be improvements.
Good news for the fans being back, Scott Allen. How many calls have we taken on this show over the years?
Yep. Listen, I think for me the game itself has been crying out for it. I think both fans obviously will get a taste of what it's like to go to their nearest rival's ground again. Sorry, my mic there nearly fell off. So yeah, I think it's our game needs that, and the fans are back. I think obviously the Barry Ferguson interim manager era begins, obviously off to a great start after a difficult first 35 minutes, but they definitely answered some of the criticism in that game, some really positive performances as the game went on, and he'll be delighted with that start.
The players on both sides will be delighted that you're going to get home and away fans inside Celtic Park on the 16th of March. It just makes the spectacle even better. When it's all one group of fans, Celtic or Rangers, it's not the same. You need that input, and it's good that we've got it, and fans respect it. Don't destroy it in one game.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So come on down, let us know what you're thinking tonight. Big games to look forward to this weekend. Huge fixtures. Really in that part of the season. It's not the business end yet, as everyone calls it, but we're definitely in that bit of the season where every fixture really counts, doesn't it? Particularly the middle part and the bottom of the table. So what are you thinking ahead of the games this weekend? Give us all your reaction, good, bad, shrug of the shoulders, whatever you feel regarding that news today, that the away ticket allocations have been restored up to a point for the games between Celtic and Rangers, Rangers and Celtic in the league. Give us all your thoughts there. What did you make of that news? Is it a welcomed piece of information for you today? Maybe you're not that fussed, I don't know. You can tell us, as we alluded to in the headlines. KMI panel saying that they felt Celtic's goal should have stood. They can't see any conclusive proof. It's all about that, isn't it? Was the ball out for some people? Probably yes, but can you prove it? As we always want to try and do in Scottish football. And anything else, do give us a call. Rangers fans, it's only a couple of days on from Rugby Park, so you might still have wider thoughts, because we're going to hear from Barry Ferguson again today. A traditional Friday afternoon pre-match press conference with Barry Ferguson, the manager of Rangers.
Yeah.
Will you indulge me for a minute and make this all about me?
Yeah.
I've been off for the last week, right? So last Friday night, I was not here with you two. Were you two together last Friday, I assume?
No, it was me and Cammy last week.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry, I forgot Hugh did his extra shift in the middle of the week. I wasn't here last Friday. Rangers hadn't yet played St Mirren. Celtic hadn't yet gone to Easter Road. 1 week, by the way, it's 1 week. Philippe Clement was still the manager of Rangers. I thought he maybe could have gone if they lost, which I didn't expect him to. Barry Ferguson's taking his place,
yeah.
And on we go. Scottish football never lets you down.
Well, the reaction of the crowd to Barry Ferguson at Kilmarnock on Wednesday night told you all you need to know. And the reaction of the players was highly informative at the same time. The players, after going 2-0 down, I honestly thought to myself, I've never seen anything like this. Yeah. Rangers were appalling. Kilmarnock were going through them at will, and you've got an interim manager standing there with his arms folded with the look of a man who has just seen an accident. The players responded, which they never would have done under Philippe Clement. The crowd responded, and at the end of the match, the response shown towards Barry Ferguson told you that for that group of supporters, they would like him to be the manager. But a lot of football to be played before that can happen. And the question of 49ers Enterprises, if they take over Rangers, do they want Barry Ferguson?
Seriously though, what a week. All of that in one week. And that's before we even get to all the games during the week and how significant some of the results were and some big talking points. It's it never stands still for long, does it?
No, it really doesn't. I think the Barry Ferguson one did take all of us by surprise. I think, obviously, having worked with Neil McCann and Billy Dodds, Neil McCann twice at Dundee, then Inverness, where Billy Dodds joined them, I think it might be a good mix for Rangers, especially in this interim period. I think they all kind of bring a different sort of niche. I think straight off the bat, Barry Ferguson was asked some serious questions about how he was going to change things. Obviously, 2-0 down, you're obviously looking at the touchline saying, we've seen this Rangers side before. We've seen a lot where we'd think they're not going to pull this back. It makes the change and Rangers get the goal and they just kind of clicked into gear. I felt as the game went on, it was as good as Rangers had played away from home in terms of some of the football they played at a tricky ground in Kilmarnock, who can be a really stuffy side and have been for Rangers and Celtic over the years. So I think there was lots of positives, and as Hugh touches on, the response from the fans at the end of the game, that the players now who have Barry Ferguson in charge will know what the Rangers fans think of him.
And Hugh, as we then the old fashioned Friday night bit of this, it's the weekend, it's Saturday, you look at the games, how yep. big they are, the storylines attached to them all, so much to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, you have Michael Vimmer taking Motherwell to Ibrox, where there will be, in spite of the fact that the last two home games at Ibrox have resulted in the biggest embarrassment in the club's history, Scottish Cup defeat to Queen's Park, followed by the biggest shambles in the club's history, the 2-0 defeat to St Mirren, the atmosphere tomorrow will be almost carnival-like because it will be Barry Ferguson Day. And I don't think Michael Vimmer and his team have an earthly at Ibrox tomorrow. And then, of course, at 5:30, Celtic.
You did say that last weekend.
Yes,
I think
yes,
I didn't hear you. Yeah. On my Saturday off, can I just share this? Because the listeners will appreciate it. On my Saturday off, I was very, very busy. Really busy. You know, those types of things that are more important than football. But I managed genuinely 10 minutes of the show. 10. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. And it was enough time for kind of full time Easter Road. That was great. Hugh, how do you think it's going to go at Ibrox? Rangers comfortable winners. And that was the only bit of the show I heard last Saturday.
For a couple of reasons. Celtic had just lost, and it was negligence on the part of Philippe Clement and the Rangers players. Celtic had just lost. We know that the title is a, if not a foregone conclusion, very, very much in Celtic's favour. However, if they lose, Rangers must win at home. So it was negligence on the part of the manager, who finally and conclusively proved to the people who employ him that he was an absolute dud and they had to get rid of him.
You can say that now, he's gone. Anyway, 01419511025, that is the number that you need. So why not give us a call Friday night? So many talking points from the week that's passed and so many big games to look forward to. Scott's in Maryhill. Kick us off, Scott.
Hi, good evening. How are we doing?
Good, thank you. Good.
Superb. It's regarding, unfortunately, VAR again, but they're putting ourselves in the firing line. When it first came out, everyone was against it without giving it a go. We're giving it a go, and a lot of people are realising it's killing the game. I've said for a long time, I know watch live football now because of VAR. When teams score a goal, you don't know where to celebrate or just stand there and wait. The decisions the last couple of weeks, some of them have been really shocking. And with the Dyes and Maeda one, there's a lot being said now that things should be getting done. One of the biggest things that needs to be getting done is people being held accountable for these decisions. VAR was brought in to help referees on the park and minimise the controversy and the bad decisions. And it's just adding to it. And there's no accountability. And until there is, people behind the scenes that don't have to come out in front of the media or show face, until they're held accountable, nothing's going to change.
What type of accountability would you like to hear, Scott? I'm not saying you're wrong. I hear that word a lot, and I wonder what the realistic practices would be.
I watch football. I love football. I love my club. Surely that question's for the people who brought VAR in. I just mean
hypothetically, though, because, you know, again, it sounds like I'm disagreeing with you. I'm not, but people say it a lot. What does it mean? Do you sack refs spitball with me?
At the end of the day, if I make a really bad decision at work, I could be sacked depending on the level of incompetency. Clubs are starting to get to the position. There's Celtic. They're saying the goal should have stood. That would have made it 2 weeks, I believe. So that saves a point.
Maybe.
Other clubs might end that lose games are losing money from bad decisions. And until there is accountability, until someone that's sitting watching this, these television replays, they feel, oh, wait a minute, I need to be on my game here because I'm going to be made accountable. Okay, we do now have a referee that comes in and speaks once a week, but the ones making the bad decisions are going to keep making the bad decisions because they're not. And to do what, okay, maybe say, right, for the rest of it, depending on the severity of it, you won't get a big game like a Celtic Rangers or a Hearts Hibs game.
That I've always thought is really difficult on the issue of accountability. In case people are wondering why this is rearing its head again, so the KMI panel tends to publish its results on a Friday from the previous weekend. Yeah. So it's a five-man panel. It's just another five set of eyes, like we've said before. Football people, if you would want to call it that way, who look at these incidents. And I think 4-1, they thought that the goal should have stood. Just because, you know, it's that kind of factual thing, in or out, can you provide conclusive proof that it was out? And they've 4-1 came to the conclusion of no. See, on Scott's specific point about accountability, right? And he's saying, you know, they need to know that they have to up their game. I genuinely do wonder what difference. As an example, right? Imagine Alan Muir, Saturday morning, you say to him, Alan, see if you get a decision wrong today. We're going to walk you down Buchanan Street and everybody is going to hurl abuse at you and laugh at you and make fun of you. Does he call that any differently in the afternoon? I don't think he does.
When fans use the word accountability, they mean the referee has to be sacked or downgraded to a lower division.
Imagine you said to Alan Muir before that game, Alan, see if you get anything wrong in there, you're getting sacked. Do you think he calls it any differently, or does he just think it was out?
I'll know if there's accountability if Alan Muir doesn't do any games this weekend, because I'll know then that he has been silently dealt with. So I'll wait to find out if Alan Muir is on any list at any game tomorrow. I do, in a purely personal opinion, believe that VAR has spoiled the game for so many people. Every time a goal is scored, I do believe that fans miss the moment when they could celebrate a goal because they never know if it is a goal. I do believe that we're in trouble. The first cup final of the season was influenced by, I'm not saying the outcome was determined by, I'm saying the progress of the cup final was influenced by a wrong decision regarding VAR. Sam Dolby of Dundee United scored a goal at the weekend, or midweek rather, which I believe that Willie Collum has had to apologise to Dundee United over, because it was a goal and it was disallowed.
Again, I think that's similar to the Celtic one. I think it's more about the proof. I think there's perhaps a feeling that it might have hit Sam Dolby's arm, but can you prove
it? They took 4 minutes. If you take four
because
minutes...
Because there was an offside check in there as well.
But if you're taking that length of time, you're not certain. Just butt out. And the same with Alan Johnson. And it's happening all over the place. And it is a cause of deep concern, because... will the next cup final be influenced by a wrong decision?
Well, you've seen a few cup finals in your time. There've been loads influenced by wrong decisions.
Yeah, but that doesn't get us out of the problem that we are currently experiencing. I'm not talking about any previous season. Right now, the 28th of February, 2025, the system is in disarray.
See, the on accountability. Same question to you, Scott. I don't know if we got there directly on that. It's not that I disagree with Scott on the Lions' point, because that. Like, that's kind of how things should work, and I keep hearing that if I make mistakes at my work, you know, I'd be punished or whatever the word is. But if I'll ask you the question, if you told Alan Muir 10 minutes before kick-off, Alan, if you get anything wrong today, you're getting sacked, does he call that decision differently? I don't think he does, because he thinks it's out. Do we think it's out? Can you prove that it's out? Has he got it wrong? Clearly the KMI panel say yes. But this accountability, if he was threatened with the sack, would he have called it different? I don't think he would have.
No, I think you're right. I don't think he does. I think what fans are looking for, though, is ultimately what we've seen this year with Willie Collin coming out and speaking. He's coming out and he's apologising for certain things, and then that's it, kind of brushed under the carpet.
They don't apologise. They always say, like, they don't apologise. Yeah. It's just to kind of acknowledge where things have gone.
Acknowledge where things have gone.
Because you apologise if you've done it, like, deliberately, sort of thing.
Yeah, well, you know where I'm going with that. Yeah, yeah. It's they came out and they maybe hold their hands up. It could have been dealt with better. And fans of whoever team they support, they feel they have been seeing these decisions time and time again over the season. And that I think that's where the accountability question comes from. It's right. So it's just brushed under the carpet. Doesn't matter about that point. Doesn't matter about that game.
So what is accountability for you? What does it look like? Because Hugh mentioned we have. Well,
the last time
I spoke
about a referee on a Friday night, sent me off the next day.
But, you know, we have had examples where a referee does get stood down or whatever, and then they'll come back in eventually and people say, you know, it wasn't long enough. So what is the answer? I think we all agree you can't sack them because there isn't enough of them. So what does it look like?
It looks like the scenario that I put to you, that if Alan Muir is not officiating at a game tomorrow, either on the park or in the VAR room, then he has been silently dealt with because of what happened.
But what I mean is, say he is stood down for this weekend, he'll be back next week, right, or the week after, and then people will say that's not accountability, people will say it doesn't go far enough. So is that enough for you, that kind of 1 week standing down?
I think it's as far as you can go. Yeah. I think if you went any further, then the person in question might have legal... Yeah.
But that's what will bring Scott back in. You want it to go further, Scott, I'd imagine. You don't think that's enough, do you? To be stood down for a week?
To make my point very, very clear, I wouldn't want a manager sacked for any of the decisions that have been made so far, no matter how bad they are. So definitely wouldn't want a manager to be sacked. But something has to be done. If it's not done, decisions are going to eventually cost clubs money. Which could put them in the modern day, clubs need every penny they can get. But when you go to work, even all you guys in the studio, you know the rules, you know what's expected of you. There's standards. And if their standards aren't met, then something happens to you. Every single job, it determines on the job, it determines on the punishment.
But you keep going on about something has to happen to you.
And that's all I'm asking. I'm not trying to be clever. I'm asking all three of you.
I'm
what?
I'm asking the football world to get their heads around and do this. I'm a punter. Used to spend my money on my club. Used to watch my club. Used to go and support them. I'm on that side of the fence. I'm expecting the people within the football world who have the power to start sitting about and making decisions going forward.
I think, first of all, there has to be an acknowledgement on the part of the SFA, whether it's in the form of Willie Collin or whatever. There has to be an acknowledgement that something has gone wrong, because it is irrefutable that matches are now being influenced by bad decisions.
Is it not just, though, a different type of decision? Because, I mean, since football started, matches have been influenced by bad decisions.
But now you've got something to help you. You've been able to see it again.
So it does limit the number, but not enough. Do you know what I mean? Though, that note, like, you've been on this show for a long time. We've shifted the frustration, because matches have been influenced by bad decisions since football started.
We were told the slogan was that VAR would mean minimum interference, maximum efficiency. That's not being delivered.
I think that's a separate point, though, to, you know, like I said, match has been influenced by bad decisions. That, to me, it has always happened.
Well, let me turn that on you. Do you think everything's okay?
Well, obviously not, but hence the 20-minute discussion. But what I'm saying is, it's just different. I always feel like you think I'm disagreeing with you. If you would just listen to what I'm saying. Matches have always been influenced by bad decisions.
Correct.
Yes, because you've done it enough on this
Since
show.
Time began.
So now it's like, it's a different layer to it. It's the fact that a bad decision could cost a team money. To me, that's no different now from what it was. But as you say, football now operates at a time when we thought naively that all of this would go away.
But
either we as I said to you, purely personal opinion, I agree with the good people of Denmark and Sweden who voted against VAR and don't have it. I also agree that it has spoiled football for an awful lot of people.
And again, that to me is entirely valid, but also entirely separate, because Scott says you can't celebrate a goal. That's been such a material change in football here, England, Spain, France, Germany, International, Champions League, Europa League. So this is like an existential thing that football decided to bring in. That's then different to did Alan Muir get the decision right?
But all these referees go to the same meetings start the season. Mm-hmm. They'll obviously have reviews at some point every month, I would imagine, because that's an SFA thing. I think the fact that we keep seeing with the inconsistencies is the fact different referees are interpreting the so-called laws of the game differently.
To be make it specifically about this, this isn't even really about interpretation, is it? This is a ball in, or is it out? It's not.
But that could quite easily be some. The way it's going is, on another day, someone says it's in.
Yeah, but how are you ever going to get around that? It's your eyes versus my eyes.
Well, in that case, then the benefit of the doubt must be introduced.
Yes.
And therefore, the benefit of the doubt had to be given to Alistair Johnson, Dyson Maeda, and Celtic.
100%. Hence why the KMI panel voted
therefore,
that way.
Therefore, another mistake has occurred, and too many are occurring, and this system is in disarray.
At the end of the day, is it a guess then?
Yeah, 100% it's a guess.
I don't think it is, though. Purely because, right, so right now, if I say to you, Scott, is that ball in or out? What's a guess, and when does it become a guess, and when are you just trying to judge?
When you can't see the whole ball.
But he obviously thinks he can, whether it's right or wrong. Do you know what I mean by that?
He's the only person in the world then that could see through someone's foot.
Because that's like saying every time a linesman flags for the ball being in or out, he's guessing then. Yeah, every time.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, we're 24 minutes past six. Hugh thinks I'm disagreeing with him, even though I think deep down I've actually agreeing with most of what he's saying. Just trying to test the theory. Scott is in Maryhill. Thanks for his time, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are in the building, both waiting for you to get in touch. So let's hear you then on 0141 951 1025. Big games this weekend, looking forward to them all in their own way. So give us your thoughts or any of the week's biggest talking points you can do. I've missed you all, been off for a whole week, missed you desperately. So if there's anything you want to tidy up after a busy week, then please do share us. Let me know what I've missed out on. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Ticket allocations are right up there with the number one topic on this show. Uh-huh. One of the other number one topics, though, has now become VAR. So I feel like they're fighting it out tonight, because usually tickets always rise to the top. Maybe we'll get that before the end. But Eddie's in air, first of all. Hi, Eddie.
Hi.
How are you, Eddie? All right?
Hi, good, good.
What are you thinking tonight, Eddie?
I think VAR is a good thing for football. I think for every decision they get wrong with VAR, they make at least 10 right ones. They get offsides right most times. And like, even last week, Eggerman got a straight red card. He had missed two or three games, went to VAR, dropped down to a yellow correctly. So Alistair Johnson's goal should have stood. But for everyone they get wrong, they get at least 10 right, which wouldn't have happened, and which has happened over the years.
I think that's the real difficulty with this year, because I think it obviously gets more right than it gets wrong. Like, how could it not? So that's not necessarily a, you know, get a banner out for it, but I think it's very hard to put yourself in that mindset, because you're going to remember the wrong ones.
Yeah.
As Eddie quite rightly says, we ain't coming on here on a Monday or whatever and going, oh, how good is VAR, by the way? See the way it overturned that Iggy Man red card. Yeah, that was magnificent. So we're never going to do that.
Phillip, as well.
Yeah,
you always have to regurgitate, and I have to say the cup final, Celtic Rangers Premier Sports Cup final, was influenced by, not decided by, but influenced by a wrong VAR call. Sam Dolby's goal for Dundee United, which involves league positions, the qualification for Europe next season, Sam Dolby's goal now shown to be wrongly disallowed because of VAR. Alistair Johnson, a goal that would have possibly given Celtic a draw, but no conclusive evidence that it would have given Celtic a draw. However, they were denied going 2-2 because of VAR. Yeah. Therefore, I appreciate Eddie's point that overall, it will get more right than it gets wrong. However, there are three, in quick succession, high-profile cases of VAR influencing the outcome of football
I
matches.
I think that's the difficulty, though, because in many ways, Eddie couldn't have set that up any better, because Hugh has completely underlined his point. No one keeps a list. Hugh's not wrong. You keep thinking I'm disagreeing with you. Hugh's not wrong. But no one keeps a list of the right ones, do they? And that's just the way we've become...
Yeah, it's just
accustomed to it.
And it's obviously big talking points coming the weekend, because ultimately the decisions we're talking about are obviously...
Because take offsides is a great example. There are so many. I always thought that. Even before VAR was like a thing, before anyone had even thought about it, I always thought, how do they really call them in real time? You imagine you've got a defender running that way, a striker running that way at full pelt.
Well, when we see the VAR, how close the lines are sometimes, yeah.
It is so, so hard.
It's like my match predictions. Yeah. No one asks me about the ones I get right. They just go on with
that's easy, because there's hardly any of them.
Well, that's...
But, you very rarely would stop, in fact, never. You wouldn't stop at the end of a game and sort of go, by the way, how many offsides would have been given rightly or wrongly at the end? So...
We kind of choose what we want to
do. Is it worth the hassle? I think that's got to be the bigger question. It feels like for a lot of people the answer's no. Is it worth the hassle?
No, when you take into the fact...
But Eddie thinks it is.
For most fans, I think the goal scoring thing is the biggest one. Obviously celebrating a goal and then it getting chalked off. So most fans, that takes away that thing that we fell in love with football with. From that point of view, no, it's not worth the hassle. But on the flip side, if you do get the decisions right and that's in a cup final or that's in a title deciding game...
Because in many ways, that is a problem with... Like, VAR, and it's... in the moment it was created, that was the issue, because that's still an issue. Imagine they got everything right, literally every single decision right, ever. It would still be a problem, that you'd still have that... Do you notice it, Hugh, the celebration of goals thing? Because we're now moving away from, you getting decisions right or wrong. As I said, that would still be an issue if they get everything right.
Every time a goal is scored, if you watch a match on television, every time a goal is scored, I think, how far back are they going to take this now? To find out that it shouldn't have been awarded because two or three phases of play earlier...
Well, they say it's one, it's always one, but I take your point.
But so, for me, I'm in a studio. I'm in a privileged position. But for those who are paying £30 and £40 to attend football matches and are having these moments denied them, football is becoming less enjoyable.
This week's been a really good/bad week for that one, though, as we said about, do you need... Because if we were all really calm about it and we took a Club Allegiances out, is it outrageous to suggest that the ball was out and Alistair Johnson crossed it in? No, it's not. Is it outrageous to suggest the ball hit Sam Dolby's arm? No. But if you can't prove it, why are you bothering? That's the bit that people are frustrated at, isn't
it? Yeah, and I think that they're entitled to their frustration, because if you cannot conclusively prove the point that you're trying to make, just step aside. And the benefit of the doubt should have been given to Sam Dolby and to Alistair Johnson and to Vaslav Cherny.
How do we ever get that back in the bottle though, Eddie? Because I think you make really calm, sensible points. It is going to get more right than it's wrong. And you do wonder, if we took it away, would then people actually think, oh, maybe it was better the way we had it? I don't know. So how do we ever get everyone to get on board with your way of thinking?
Well, I was at Celtic Park on Tuesday night and we'd be Aberdeen 5-1 with my grandson. And I had to wait a few times on VAR to decide whether it was a goal to celebrate. I just think that's part and parcel now, and as long as you're celebrating the right result at the end, 99 times out of 100, then fair enough. Because how many times over the years, when there was no VAR, did goals get chopped off or goals given when players weren't the offside, there wasn't a foul? So I just think that VAR, I know that Hugh said earlier that Denmark and Sweden are right to do without VAR. I just think there's more correct results made with VAR than there's results lost without it.
Fair enough. I don't know if Eddie's point is that of the majority or whether it's a loud minority who feel the opposite. I don't know, but we certainly are having these discussions quite often. Thank you to Eddie and Ayr. 01419511025. Whilst we get another call lined up, let's dip our toes in Twitter. Craig D says VAR's a great introduction to modern day football. Offsides are being clearly identified more than the naked eye ever could. Red card incidents identified more so than not. There will always be subjective decisions made in the game. So Craig's making his point. I think the problem with that this week is those were kind of supposed to be factual decisions. Is it in or is it out? But obviously you're still asking a human to make that thought process. So give us a call if you want to add to that. I suppose in some ways we then let VAR become the main talking point because we don't talk about other things. It's like a chicken and egg where it goes round and round. But that chicken and eggs don't go round and round. But you get my point. It's like, what came first, us discussing it too much, or let's hear from, who should we go for first? What about Brendan Rodgers? He's delighted away fans will be back. How do you feel about that out there? It is going to happen as of next month, Celtic against Rangers, then again for the final meeting, and he's hoping the allocation can be expanded in the future.
Yeah, I think everyone is. It's a big part of the fixture. Haven't been involved in it with the supporters there, both home and away, and then obviously them being taken away, then it does make a difference. So I think it's great for everyone, great for the game, great for the spectacle of the game, and obviously ultimately for the supporters. They get the chance to see their team, which is great. We just had to get supporters back in the stadiums again. That was the start point, and then hopefully it can get somewhere near to where it was before, because that always created an amazing atmosphere. Football, as we know, is about the rivalry, and there's arguably no greater rivalry, you know, than Celtic v Rangers and world football. There's many great derbies, of course, but this one being an exceptional one. So I think it's just good to have both sets of supporters in, and I think for the game itself, it always adds to the spectacle.
Again, a quick recap if anyone's missed the story, I'm sure you caught the gist. The away fans will return, so it's around 2,500 tickets for Rangers fans to go to Celtic Park on March the 16th. Now that's going to be the biggest since 2018. Now of course it was 7,000 the halcyon days of the away allocation, and I get why some people might say, well, we're miles off that, but also it went to zero, Hugh, in case anyone hadn't noticed. So it's probably about judging this based on where we were recently, first of all, and then maybe somehow look to where it was before.
I would describe this as a probation. That they've settled in this allocation, roughly 4% for Celtic Park in 2 weeks' time, and then Ibrox before the end of the season. So it's up to the fans. We've had two back-to-back cup finals. In May, the Scottish Cup final. In December, the Premier Sports Cup final, both played between Celtic and Rangers. Hampden on both occasions split 50-50, Celtic fans, Rangers fans. It did not result in civil unrest. The matches were played and no serious incidents occurred. Therefore, it shows that you can have a high percentage of Celtic or Rangers supporters inside a ground, whether it's the Celtic fans at Ibrox or vice versa. So it's up to the fans. They're on probation, and they have to show that you can have a percentage inside the ground without it resulting in anything regrettable.
What's your reaction to that news today? Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a pair for a Friday night, honestly. Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here looking, I was going to say looking ahead to the weekend's action. That's not really happened yet, no. If I'm being quite honest. But that's fine. It's Friday, we can look back, of course, on the week's biggest talking points as well, because it has been busy, or so I've been led to believe, in my absence. Mark is a Rangers fan. Mark, we teed it up before the break there. Hugh and Scott gave us a brief reaction to the news today that there are tickets available for away fans for the Derby matches coming up. How do you feel about that news?
I think it's long overdue, and it's a real positive step forward to see that sensibility for once in an Old Firm conversation has come to fruition, because without it, it's not the same spectacle. I think that when you're at home watching on TV and your team scores on the opposing ground and there's boos instead of cheers, I don't think it's great for Scottish football at all.
Did you wonder if it went on so long that you started to wonder if it would ever come back in any meaningful way? Or did you always think it was possible?
No, I genuinely thought during the season ticket allocation that it would be an unknown period of time. I hoped it would come back, but I just couldn't really see how they were going to make it happen without significant change and without annoying quite a lot of people who have paid for their tickets in advance. And I thought it would take the season ticket break before you would get any kind of news. So it's good that they're doing it, because I think the fact of the matter is, without an Old Firm rivalry, you don't really have a televisable league. You need it. It's the reason the Premier Sports are there. It's the reason Sky's there. And then without it, you don't have the money. It's in the top five derbies in the world. And if you don't get, you take that away and the rivalry away and dilute it.
It's been the same since, yeah, you're right, Mark. It's been the same since time began. Celtic and Rangers are the twin pillars of Scottish football. And without question, lead the commercial discussions, whether it's with TV, radio or anyone else. Now, as I said, the fans are on probation. It's been a situation that has had to be fluid because of trouble. Trouble involving supporters. So there would be no discussion on this matter if people behaved.
See, to be fair though, I think Mark's right. It got to more than that, where tickets were then sold. You know, season tickets were sold for that area, and it, yeah, that had to be negotiated through. So it's that perfect thing, and we're bad for this and life, but probably Scottish football is a great example. What's your phrase? Spite, malice and
mistrust.
But you know, people are always going to look at things through their own lens. So I actually got why, if you're a club and you say, well, but we've sold season tickets to we can't move these people anywhere, so we can't snap our fingers and get allocations reinstated. But to us and everybody who has just stood on the outside, you go, come on, it just has to happen, whatever it is, because it is the one of the best things about those games, isn't
it? Of course. Mark has articulated the case perfectly. He thought it would have to wait until close season when there would be no season ticket problems. So I can imagine there will be 2,000 or 3,000 very angry Celtic fans who will be moved or whatever it is they do, and likewise Rangers fans at Ibrox when Celtic go there. However, in principle, it's great to have it. It suits everything about the occasion on and off the park. And now it has to pass off without incident. You'll never cut out the naughty songs. You'll never cut out the intensity of the rivalry. But so long as it passes off without serious incident, then you can investigate the possibility of upping the percentage as we move along.
I think on that might never happen, Scott. That just is what it is. And again, going back to tickets and season tickets and who sits where and, you know, security cordons and all that sort of stuff. Maybe it never goes back to 7,000, which would be a shame. But 2,500, 3,000, whatever it is, 1,000 is so much different from zero to state.
Yeah, of course. It's a massive step forward. I think if you look at, I think throughout the country, most fans will be absolutely delighted with it. I think from a personal point of view, if you're a player, you're absolutely delighted if you're one of the Rangers players going away to Celtic Park and you've got some 2,500 fans behind you, it does make all the difference sometimes. But I think, listen, we've been crying out for this, I think, as a league and as a spectacle, you need the away fans, especially for that big game.
Do you think does it impact the football match itself, Mark, do you think? I mean, what have we had? We've had zero up to about, is it 750, 800 in the last. Do you think it can inspire players a bit more when they've got a corner of their own fans, or is it more about the occasion and the atmosphere rather than the actual impact in the football match?
I think it has. I think you can absolutely be the 11th, the 12th man, so to speak, and you can drive your team home or encourage them to keep going when things are tough. And I think in the environment that Rangers and Celtic both play in, which is normally very hostile, I think that having your support singing and chanting names, and you can, it's what you do as a fan, isn't it? You're there to support your club. And it's not the same. I mean, we're kidding ourselves on if we think that as a spectacle it was better when they weren't there because we sold more tickets inside the ground. The fact is that there are more people watch that game outside the ground that are having a far different experience to those inside it. And I think that if we are going to continue to sell our product worldwide and be able to attract fresh investment, whether it's sponsorship or subscriptions or whatever it may be, the Old Firm game has to live up to the expectation.
I was part of
the hype and live up to the history.
I was part of the Super Scoreboard commentary team when David Murray, then in charge of Rangers, the owner of Rangers, said there should be no Celtic supporters inside the ground because of trouble, structural damage done to the stadium. And that was the first time, I think I'm correct in saying, the first time ever the match was played without rival fans, away fans. And it was an utterly surreal experience. But Celtic were by far the better team.
That John Collins,
yeah. Alexei Mikhailichenko scored late in the game. So I think it depends on who's got the better players. If it's all Celtic fans and all Rangers fans, on the day it depends on who's got the better players. But there is absolutely no doubt that as a spectacle, it is enhanced and has its status, as Mark said, one of the five top derbies in the world. It's that way if you have both sets of fans there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you just need to look across the city to across Scotland to the Edinburgh Derby, and you see obviously Hibs winning against Hearts at Tynecastle, and you see the scenes at full time and how good the pictures are for Scottish football. So there's no doubt. I don't think anybody can argue that game has to have away fans in. I think in terms of do they act as a 12th man or such. I think if say Rangers were 1-0 up going into the last 10 minutes and they can hear fans, it definitely gives you an extra added impetus than having no one there. No question. I do think as a player, sometimes say you were going to hit a corner, sometimes you hear things and it makes it kind of relates that to you. So for me, you just look across to the Edinburgh Derby and you see the scenes that we've had and the pictures we've had from some of the games and obviously back in history with some of the Old Firm games, it's a no-brainer for me.
Mark, talk to me about your team. I said to make it selfishly about me for a minute. I've been off for a week and I've missed all sorts. How are you feeling about Barry Ferguson in the last week or so?
Look, I think initially for me it felt a bit that I agreed with Andy earlier in the week. They've got a very small pool of people to choose from. You've got fans leaving in their droves. You've got people waiting hours outside of a ground till the manager leaves to shout and scream and show frustration. You need to put people in that seat that will then turn the temperature down. And I think that when you bring Barry and Billy Dodds in and Neil McCann and well-respected professionals of the club who are liked by tens of thousands of people, you do that immediately. I think it's then compounded when you go away to probably one of the most difficult away grounds on the league, who managing something like Derek McInnes, his side, the physicality, for Barry to turn that from 2-0 to 4-2, it really shows, I suppose, that there's promise. I'm not one of the fans that's getting a bit carried away. I think you'll get the new manager bounce, and I agree with Barry. Judge him after 3 months.
Fair enough, thank you very much. Oh, sorry, Mark, I thought that was the end. Carry on.
No, you're right. And if he gets a result and we go 10, 12 games and we win more than we lose and we're positive performance and we fight and we move maybe past, we put a decent effort against Fenerbahce, he's earned his right to ask the question, can he have the job?
Well, that would be quite the turn of events. Thank you to Mark and Clyde Bank. It's that time of the night for us already, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. What a way to round off your week with a bit of bragging rights, a signed ball on here. If you can get more questions right than Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen, it's 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Friday night with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get in touch and let us know what you are thinking. We reacted to the news that the KMI panel have said Celtic's goal at Easter Road, Dyson-Maeda, should have stood. Four people believed yes, one disagreed. So obviously a 4-1 in favour of the goal. Do you know, again, back to what we said earlier, that KMI panel's published every Friday, and some Fridays we don't even acknowledge it.
No.
But then when there's a big hoo-ha to be had, it's good to have that to fall back on as a talking point. If you want to keep going on that, you can do. Ticket allocations, one of the number one most popular topics on Super Scoreboard, and Old Firm fans are back in pretty serious numbers. Not as serious as they once were, but certainly big numbers compared to what was going on recently. So give us your thoughts there. What about the games this weekend? Barry Ferguson back in charge at Ibrox, and so on and so forth. Give us a call, we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Listeners, 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 seriously, I leave you for a week. Not one single victory for the listeners this
week.
We'll
sort that out.
I think there is every chance, to be fair. James is on the line. How are you, James?
I'm fine.
Have you ever played before?
No.
Good. First time. Do you tend to do okay when you play along at home?
Yes, I play at home. Usually about five or six I usually
get. Ooh, that's a good standard. People usually say 3 or 4, 5 or 6 is good. That should be enough, James, I have to say, if you can get that. So anyway, heads it will be Hugh Keevans, tails it will be Scott Allen. And it is tails. It's Scott Allen up against James from Coatbridge. You ready for this, Scott?
Yes.
Good, right, let's give him something else to listen to, James, so he can't hear us. You have 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you want to move on, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Who did Celtic play in the last round of the Scottish Cup?
Kilmarnock.
What club does Alex Neil currently manage?
Hamilton.
Hibs player Lewis Miller is what nationality?
Pass.
Who did Derek McInnes replace as Kilmarnock manager?
Oh, Stevie Clark.
Sam Dalby is on loan to Dundee United from which club?
Southampton.
Who knocked Rangers out of last season's Europa League?
Pass.
Clyde play in which division in Scotland? Clyde.
Second.
Okay, let's bring him back. Scott Allen, can you hear us?
I went on quite long that one.
You've been hanging about with Gordon DL too much. I think they're all doing it to wind me up, that actually. I think there's a club going on where they claim that the same 30 seconds that we play every night,
yeah,
is different. Yeah. Do you know what I've realised? See, for all your faults, you're the only one that's never complained about that.
No, I don't care.
I knew you were my favourite.
I don't have time for complaints.
Exactly. Well, he complains about everything else, so that maybe he's not got enough energy for Beat the Pundit. But he's the only man who takes it at face value in here. Are you ready, Scott Allen?
Yes, let's go.
30 seconds and your time starts now. Who did Celtic play in the last round of the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
What club does Alex Neil currently manage?
Millwall.
Hibs player Lewis Miller is what nationality?
Australian.
Who did Derek McInnes replace as Kilmarnock manager?
Pass.
Sam Dalby is on loan to Dundee United from which club?
Wrexham.
Who knocked Rangers out of last season's Europa League?
Pass.
Clyde play in which division in Scotland?
League Two.
Which Scottish Premiership team have lost their last 5 games?
Dundee.
James, 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 what do you think?
He's just Peters.
Justin, what do you think, Scott? Are you confident?
A few, I think. Okay. I'm actually glad I passed in a few, because I would have took a couple of seconds to get
there. By the tone of your voice, you're about to tell us that James is delusional.
Never suggest such a thing. What I would say is, I thought it was a great example of how some questions that should be easy See that first one? Who did Celtic play in the last round of the cup?
Full
disclosure, I don't think I'd get that. I think I would just panic and go,
yeah, because it's
quite recently. Yeah. But it wasn't, it was like, what, a couple of weeks ago? Wraith Rovers, none of you got it.
This,
I know, so did Dan. Obviously, we spoke about it and I totally remember it now, but I think it's a good example. There's another one like that we'll get to. Alex Neil manages Millwall. Well done, Scott Allen, one up. Lewis Miller is Australian, 2-0 to Scott Allen. Derek McInnes replaced Tommy Wright. You were not far off, James. I see where you were going with the kind of, with the Steve Clark shout, but Tommy Wright, so 2-0 to Scott. Sam Dolby on loan from Wrexham, 3-0 to Scott Allen. Again, I feel like teams play so many teams in the Europa League, you kind of forget. It was Benfica who knocked Rangers out. And again, now, yes, I remember it, but a tough one, so none of you got that. Don't worry, James, it was not 0. You got Clyde, who do play in League 2. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on that one. But Scott Allen got it as well, and he even had time to get Dundee. So it was a 5 for Scott Allen and only a 1 for James and Coldbridge. Hard lines, James.
At least I got one anyway. That's the main thing.
That's the way to look at it. It was four or five less than you usually get when you play at home, but that's what pressure does to you. Thank you, James. Have a good
Thanks
night.
Thanks very much, guys. See you later. Bye,
James.
There we go.
Happiest man in Coatbridge, and he getting gubbed 5.
Steamroller there.
I had such high hopes when he said he gets 5 or 6. Buying that?
No.
I have to say.
I'm putting a run together, aren't I?
I don't know about that. He doesn't get 5 or 6.
You're the only one from Kelty Hearts putting a run together.
Ooh, oh, low blow.
Come on, Hugh.
Not factually incorrect, but low nevertheless. Who have you got tomorrow?
Queen of the South away.
They're hopeless anyway.
It's a big game.
Yeah.
Really big game.
Yeah, big. Every game is pressure now. As I said, we need to start putting some wins together. So down to Palmerston.
There you go. Well, we'll keep an eye on that tomorrow. In fact, I like keeping an eye on our own Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundits, Hugh Keevans, when they're out and about and doing their business.
Partick Thistle and Livingston.
Partick Thistle in 35 minutes' time.
Yeah.
Mark Wilson in the dugout.
They do it when they're earthly.
The thing is, he wouldn't expect you to say anything different.
Well, he and Brian Graham were absolutely delighted. I've just said that. But Livy are giving this some shot. They're only 1 point behind Falkirk at the top of the championship. Davey Martindale, man's a pest.
Going to be tough for the Jags. Any Partick Thistle fans out there want to give us a call, or maybe a Mark Wilson and Brian Graham masterclass tonight that you can give us a call about? But we're, what are we, like I said, 35 minutes or so away from kickoff there, so feel free to get your thoughts in. How has he been? I mean, I've not been here. Was he on you were out last night, you wouldn't have heard him.
Yeah, no, I missed him. I sent him a text before his first game, just saying, wishing him all the best.
And they drew one each?
Yeah.
Your good luck messages don't have.
Yeah, my kindness fell on stony ground.
Didn't carry much weight. Anyway, 01419511025, that is the number that you need. Give us a call. We heard earlier in the show from Brendan Rodgers on that topic that always gets everybody going, and it's ticket allocation. It's certainly a more of a positive news today than we usually get. Usually it's people whinging about tickets. We're at least heading in the right direction here. Fans back for the next game when Rangers go to Celtic on March 16th. Barry Ferguson says he was delighted at that decision.
Good to hear. It'll be good that the fans will be at Celtic Park. I've always said it's something that the fixtures missed. In an ideal situation, it would be great if there was more, but the way it is, the way it's happened, the number of tickets we're getting, I'm just glad that away supporters are allowed back.
See, I've spoken like a man who just, his knowledge of that fixture, having played in many, is a huge allocation. And that's still, I think that's still the number one thought for a lot of people, Hugh, where they go, I'd like to get back to that. I feel like for me personally, or us on here, we've just been so bogged down with the fact that it was 0 that this feels like quite a decent step.
I throw in the Barry Ferguson dimension into March 16th. He has upheld the finest traditions of the Old Firm Derby. He can't stand Celtic, and the Celtic fans can't stand him. So it will be wonderful on the 16th of March.
Get a good reception, won't he?
Oh,
welcome back. Good to see you again.
He'll be fist pumping the Rangers fans, and that they will be ecstatic to see him, and the Celtic fans will be giving a lot of them dumb abuse. It will be what the fixture has historically been about. Mayhem!
Brilliant. Craig is on the line. Just let's throw that one on you, Craig, to start. What's your reaction to the ticket news today?
To be honest with you, Gordon, the first time I heard about it was when I tuned into the show, because I was working to 4:45 a night. I worked from home. I don't do social media or anything like that. Thankfully, it's one of my saving graces. But I'm happy with it. I'm relatively happy with it. I was saying to the producer there, I just, not for selfish reasons, because it's not going to affect my season ticket, but I don't want Celtic getting the full Brimlin again. I think what I'd be happy with is, you know, Celtic getting the corner and maybe like the extended little bit of the Brimlin, like, you know, for the big European games, etc. I'm glad, but, you know, it's not really been a big thing, because what's it been? It's been since Gerrard's first season, wasn't it, 2018 or something, it's been going on. And yeah, of course, you miss the spectacle and stuff like that. I heard one of the earlier callers saying, you know, about revenue. I think that time's been and gone. I don't think getting the fans back is going to affect anything going forward and revenue and stuff like that. But aye, that's my 2 cents on it. But I've got 2 points, if that's all right, because I tried to get on last night.
Sure, take them away.
My first one is, I was at the game on Wednesday, and the atmosphere walking down to the ground, and obviously when Barry came out on the pitch beforehand, I have to say the atmosphere was fantastic, and it was almost to a man, you know, right behind him, you know. So as I was saying, I was trying to go on last night, there's a massive difference between the match going fans and the ones that were on social media saying, oh, I don't want Barry, this, that and the other. I mean, that's always the way you get these things online, but I was just maybe blown away is a wee bit far, but it was so nice to see, and I'm actually looking forward to going to the game tomorrow. I've got a point about James Tavernier, but it's actually a really positive point.
Go for it.
But I don't know if you want to discuss that or whatever, come back to me. But
no, that's so what your general point, you just mean that there is actually, there's just been a lift, a kind of lift in mood. Is that ultimately what you've felt and what you think Rangers needed?
Definitely needed. And I was on, I don't know if you remember, but I was on last Saturday and I was saying I took the wife shoe shopping because I couldn't face a game. And as I say, I'm looking forward to going to the match tomorrow, and I thought, without getting carried away, I thought the football was really good, you know, in the second half. And Neil McCann, I think, you know, someone that fans have been crying out for a long time, because he seems to be a kind of, I know, student of the games, a kind of maybe a bit of a funny phrase to use, but he's someone that has a bit of common sense, you know, about how the game should be played, in my opinion. And you know, it's always been Kevin Thompson, Neil McCann should, you know, maybe come in for that kind of Rangers man, in quotation marks. But I have to say, and I thought, you know, I was watching quite closely because my seat was right at the end. It was almost in line with the kind of the byline. And I was watching Barry quite carefully, and just the passion the guy's got is just so infectious. Obviously, I've seen that when he was playing for Rangers, but you know, he was kicking every ball, and he was actually kicking stuff away as well.
Well, you know yourself, Craig, that Philippe Clement bored the Rangers fans, particularly when he was speaking after games. Michael Beale bored the Rangers fans and got bulleted very quickly. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was a very strange case. He couldn't beat Celtic, and therefore you're in real trouble then, but he took Rangers to a European final. However, he just couldn't do it domestically, and he got the sack. So in comes Barry Ferguson, a shock appointment for most people. And right away, as you've witnessed at the Rugby Park, the atmosphere, the mood changes. But it will take more than a 4-2 win over Kilmarnock. And I also introduced the element of the 49ers Enterprises. They have yet to complete the takeover of Rangers. If they do complete the takeover, who do they want? Do they have a man in mind? So for me, the situation is very much up in the air. But as we go along, match by match, there is no doubt that tomorrow Ibrox will be a place to be. The crowd will be in great number and tremendously supportive of Barry Ferguson. And we go game to game, but there's no doubt that he has brought a certain mood back to the club that was not there.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, I think Craig mentioned, you know, the kind of passion, and clearly looking the bigger picture, it's going to take more than that. I could pluck thousands of people who would look passionate on the sideline and would kick some stuff away when things don't go their way. However, that's not, I'm not like belittling Craig's point, because maybe it just at an absolute starting point, that is what Rangers need right now. Just somebody that can just lift things for a bit and then just take it from there.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, passion. Obviously, you've seen it as a player, so that will carry on. You'll see the same with Neil McCann. But I think the thing that gave the Rangers fans a lift, obviously, going to the game, is the fact that it's guys they can resonate with. They know the club as well as them. They've done, and they've been successful. They can stand in that changing room and they can relate to every player in there through good times and through bad times. I think it's an interesting one. Yes, they'll take it game from game. But I think with Barry Felsen, Neil McCann and Billy Dodge, you do have three guys there who have bring a different sort of niche. And
what, give us a wee insight into, because what you played under Neil McCann at Dundee.
Yeah, so first and foremost, Neil McCann, I had a good relationship with him. I felt he was very thorough in terms of his analysis, in terms of how he wanted to play. Did that work? Did we have maybe enough of a quality of a player to kind of get the full effect that he was wanting? No, but he brought in Glenn Kamara, he improved him. He then obviously went on to Rangers and was pretty successful there. Jack Henry then went to Celtic, improved him after having a poor spell in his career. I was the same. I was coming back trying to find my feet again. Had a good first 6 months and then ended up back at Hibs with Neil Lennon. So he has got a lot of really good qualities, and that's what I'm saying. If you bring that balance in,
so what are the main strengths?
Just how thorough he is and how intense he was. I responded to that. I think a lot of players do. And I know we can look at managerial records in terms of being at the lower leagues, but sometimes Barry Ferguson, for instance, had always been, as a player, playing with an expectation on him. When you come down the leagues, it's not the same when you turn up to a game. You don't have that same feel as you do playing at a huge club like Rangers or in a big arena. So sometimes the personality traits in terms of them as a footballer suited to the higher level. As I said, I think they've assembled quite a good niche there between him and Neil McCann and Billy Dodge. Billy Dodge, another one who was, when I was at Inverness, and he was Neil McCann's assistant, very big on set pieces, one that we scored quite regularly with Inverness. I seen him do the other night against Kilmarnock, and Dessel scores. It's no surprise. So just having three guys in there who can have a set way of playing and bring enthusiasm and intensity is exactly what Rangers need at this moment in time.
You can sometimes arrive at the right solution by the wrong way, you know. And, you know, Clement had to go, he should have gone after Queen's Park. St Mirren was an absolute disgrace, and therefore Rangers that night decided, well, it's all over. So in comes Barry Ferguson, as Craig on the line has acknowledged, not to everyone's satisfaction. But we take Scott's word for it about what Billy Dodds brings to the party, Neil McCann, Barry Ferguson. I assume that there's something about Alan McGregor that also appeals to Barry Ferguson. So here they are, and they are there until the end of the season. And then we find out, if the takeover has taken place, do they fit the bill for the new owners?
I know you had another point, Craig. Let's do it quickly if we can.
Just very quickly. I think moving James Tavernier to centre-half is a long-term solution. I think that'll potentially extend his Rangers career, because his legs have gone, obviously. I'm not saying he'll be an automatic start at centre-half, I mean, but to have him as a kind of Leon Balogun-esque, you know, that kind of third choice going forward, I think that would be the way to extend his Rangers career, if that makes sense.
Certainly,
I
wouldn't say
bold,
his legs have gone already,
well, but I think it's
as much as that.
It was a bold move. Clinton Insiala was having a nightmare. And yeah, he had a nightmare against St Mirren prior to that. And Barry Ferguson and Neil McCann and Billy Dodds have said, if we don't get him out of there, 2-0 will become 3-0, yeah, and even worse. So, you know, they did it. And they did it at a time when most managers would probably wait till half-time.
Yeah.
So they've been decisive. And it was decisive to put James Tavernier into the centre-back position. Time will tell. Well, tomorrow will tell whether they think, do you know what, we better leave him there.
That's a good point. That's a nice argument, debate, call it what you will, discussion that Craig has teed up. Rangers fans, who would start in defence tomorrow and where? What does that back four look like? James Tavernier revert to right back or at centre back? What do you think, Scott Allen?
Yeah, I liked him at centre back. I thought he looked really good there. I even felt against, obviously, Watkins and that, who can be difficult.
Does it become just about him though, suppose, you know, So Yilmaz came on, didn't he, the other night and did well. But then the last time this thing was tried,
yeah, because Yilmaz then, I think, had two really good games playing there, coming in on his left foot, and then it kind of the team set up against him to kind of stop that, and he had a really poor game, and then was pulled out for a bit of time. But listen, I do like James Tavernier in that position, but I think, obviously, if he had a fully fit squad, he would still be playing it.
Do you know what I was thinking? You're a historian, you'll remember this. Dick Advocate went to Celtic Park and Fernando Rixon played, and Bobby Petter, absolutely. Do you remember the game?
He's a 6'2", is it not?
Yeah, 25 years ago. Well, and Dick Advocate, after... Yeah, 25 years ago.
I don't know why I whispered that, but 25 years ago.
I think... He might have lasted, I think, around about 23, 24 minutes, and Dick Advocate took him off. And Barry Ferguson was playing that day. And I wonder if these things go through his mind and he's thinking, you know what?
22 minutes, apparently.
22 minutes.
So you were close.
Yeah.
What's the earliest you've ever been hooked, Scott?
37 minutes.
Where?
Neil McCann hooked me.
Sound judge at Neil McCann.
There we go. He left that out there, that detail, when he was talking about working with Neil McCann.
If I'm going to give the full story, I actually had a hypo and had to come off, you know.
Oh, that's not hooked then, for
that
goodness
sake. Hooked, that was
hooked. How old were you 25 years ago?
33.
8.
Yeah,
I remember. Was that the game? There was that same season Rangers won 5-1.
Yeah,
the next interviewed Noel Gallagher. Did I ever tell you about that?
Yeah, it's just the five things.
He's told everyone. 01419511025. Give us your thoughts then, Rangers fans. Who does play at the back and where tomorrow? I know, like, Sterling, Suter, Balogun all trained, didn't they? So we'll see what sort of progress they make. Thank you to Craig on the line, and we'll take more calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, and there is still plenty of time for you to join us. So please do. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. I've got a quick full-time teaser for you, and then I'll bring in John, who is on the phone line. It's a good question. It is very topical, and it's going to take some effort, this, looking at some of these names. Thank you to David in the Gorbals. He got in touch on the email fulltime@clyde1.com. So if for some reason you're new to this, this is when you come up with a question, you email it to that email address, and then we see if the pundits can answer your question by the end of the show. So since 1990, 7 players have played for both Hearts and Hibs in an Edinburgh derby. Can you name them? So, they obviously meet this weekend. Since 1990, 7 players have played for both Hearts and Hibs in an Edinburgh derby. Can you name them?
Michael Stewart.
Yes, Michael Stewart. Well done.
Fraser Mullen.
No. You're on a steward's inquiry on that?
I would like it.
I'll look it up, that's fine. Because there was another one that I looked at this list and I thought, this guy should be, and I looked him up, but he had been at both clubs, but he hadn't played in a derby for both. Any that spring to mind, Hugh?
Not so far.
So there is a bit of, since 1990, so we might be looking towards you for the kind of earlier ones. Scott Allen's on Michael Stewart. Any other that you can think?
They had to have played in that game for both teams.
They have to have played in that game for both teams. What about a guy who has played in that game for both teams and he's played in this city's version of a big derby match as well? So Hibs and Hearts and Celtic are...
No. Sorry, I've jumped the gun there.
You have jumped the gun. Okay, listen, we can get back to it. You've got 7 to get. You've got 1 already. That takes you down to 6. So Michael Stewart, let's find the other 6 before the end. And let's bring in John and Johnston on the line. How are you, John?
Hi, Gordon, Scott, Hugh. How are you doing?
Good.
How are you doing, John?
What's your point tonight, John?
Just quickly, firstly, I would like to ask the callers that call in to stop feeling the pathological need to tell us what age they are before, when they make my point, as if it lends any more weight to it. It doesn't. All right?
Oh, wow. How old are you, John?
I'm not telling you.
That's something an old grumpy guy would say, John.
Yeah.
45, but
you sound much older.
They feel as if they need to. It's why?
I think they're trying to say they've seen a lot. You know, I'm 64 and I don't know, X player's the best I've ever seen. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Context.
If you're talking about watching Bill, Anton Rogan and Paul McNeil, whoever it may be, Billy McNeil, we know what vintage you are. It's fitting, so just get to your point.
Same to you, hurry up.
Yes, okay guys, Hugh, you'll remember me, I was on saying about Celtic has outgrown the Scottish League, and then you get beat off Hibs, right? that's a one swallowed in the mess. But I still think they're a very big fish in a small pond, we can agree on that, but my point is that the we're talking about the player of the season for Celtic, which will probably end up being the player of the season for the Scottish Premier League, let's face it. Now, as Maeda overtook Kuhn, which the dynamic? To be honest, I think if it was right now, I think it would be a joint player of the season with 15 notable mentions because that squad has performed manfully and brilliantly all season.
In my estimation, it would be Dyson Maeda, hands down. 25 goals so far this season. Nicholas Kuhn has started to go in and out a bit. But Dyson Maeda, he is the most exciting thing at Celtic, and I think he'd be the first choice. I'm not sharing your confidence entirely in all of the Celtic squad. There's been some ropey old goals lost recently, but on the positive side, Maeda, hands down.
I mean, Scott, the timing does always come into it. Well, let's not go for a full player of the year debate here because it's a wee bit early even by our standards, but it will be here before we know it. John says he thinks, you know, it would be joint. I wonder if even 3-4 weeks ago it would have been joint, but in that time Dyson Maeda's maybe stretched out a bit.
Yeah, I would say Maeda's just edged it, especially over the last month or so. As you say, I think he's the one player, if you take him out the Celtic side, where they don't have the same impetus, they don't have the same press. I think Brendan Rodgers spoke about it, but it's so true. He is Celtic's main man. There's no getting away from that. And everything.
10 goals in 23 days.
Yeah.
In February. And in case you hadn't heard, it could have been 11, but there was one chopped off. Do you hear that story?
With regard to that situation, I think coming up on the rails is Alistair Johnson. The influence he's having.
Can't be giving it to immense. Right backs, though. We can't be giving Mark Wilson's type that sort of kudos. Not when there's guys getting big goal scoring numbers.
He had his 100th game against Aberdeen midweek, and he has been a phenomenal signing, and he's having a wonderful season.
Yeah. Is that a fair point, John? Is Alistair Johnson the kind of one of the next in line? It's going to be pretty hard when you've got guys that are getting those real numbers as the two that you've mentioned, but is he in the next bracket?
When I phoned in on the Wednesday after the Bayern Munich game, I gave him a special mention because he's an 8, 9 out of 10 every week, let's face it. Now, everybody can make the odd mistake, but his standards are so high, but all the rest of the players' standards seem very high, and the Kuhn Maeda thing, well, Maeda get put through the middle, he's going to have more chances. I'm not saying Kuhn is a forward, right? But you would get more chances, of course you would. But my other point, just quickly, is I think Big Ida might be away in the summer because I've seen him giving away his jersey. And I know players do that. They don't do it every game. But he's done it midweek there. I think he feels, I'm now behind a winger and he wanted another striker in the last window. I think the big man's off.
If you give your jersey away in February, it doesn't mean anything. It means that somebody was looking for it and you've responded in a kindly fashion. If you give away your jersey in May, then you might be opening a debate on your immediate future. But I don't believe that the jersey gesture in midweek was anything other than kindness.
I take John's point that he's clearly not as much of a first pick as he would like to be, but it would be a difficult one, that, would it not? I mean, Celtic just bought him, in case, you know, we hadn't discussed it enough, for £9 million, so
he wasn't playing at Norwich either in the Championship, so no, I think there's still a lot of growth left in Adam Ide. Hasn't been as maybe had the same impact as he did last season, but I think there's still a place from there in that Celtic squad, even if they do bring in another striker, because he does give you a different sort of outlet just for his physical capabilities, and he does come up with some big goals when needed. I don't think the strip given away, as Hugh says, means anything other than after you give your third one away, you need to pay for the next one out the shop.
I was in the company of a former Celtic great last night at a charity function, and he said that he believes that Adam Ida will be the top scorer in the league next season.
Wow, are you going to name him?
Granty. Peter Grant.
It'd be pretty tough though if the team, if they all stay there, might Dyson-Maeda be the main striker.
You never argue with Peter Grant, in case you get a dull
I'm one. Arguing with you because you've now passed it off as your own. No, you know I mean? Just that's going to be the challenge, isn't it?
Maeda, for me, everything about him. For example, the fifth goal against Aberdeen, Celtic are 4-1 up. The match is almost done. And there he is, busting a gut to get into the box on the end of a wonderful cross from Alistair Johnson. And he also plays the game with a smile on his face, and he looks as if he loves it here, and his wife loves it, and the wee ones love it, and everything about him is positive. And for me, top man, top scorer, top prize.
I think Celtic are missing a trick. I want to see these running stats released, Scott Allen. We were talking about running stats during the break, actually, yeah. And for a different topic. I think this should be published, just to let us see, just to let everybody know, is it outrageous as we think?
The high intensity stuff, so to put that into context, you get the total distance, then you get the next one on the list, usually after games, the high intensity. So that's sprints over a certain kilometres per hour or however they do it, and that's tested from what you record at training. His, again, obviously, you see, as Hugh says there, the speed come the end of the game, 88th minutes to work ethic, it's just incredible. And I think as players, they probably wouldn't want it to be published, because then you might be held in
the same.
Yeah, they might be looking at that, like a Martin Boyle at Hibs, for instance, might be looking at it saying, oh my goodness.
To be fair, I have seen some from the Champions League. You know, they put it out, and it was like, of the 9 match days or something, he was either first or second in like 6 of those match days. It was something like that. Anyway, it was outrageous. Thank you to John on the line for his considerations tonight. 01419511025. Right, let's revisit this teaser quickly before we breathe. Can you name, David Ngorbals wants you to name, the 7 players since 1990 who've played for Hearts and for Hibs in an Edinburgh derby? Michael Stewart is one of them. Is he the only one you've got? Oh no.
Silence isn't good,
is it? So you haven't even got the clue. The clue I dished out to you, that this guy's also played in the derby in Glasgow. Jack sent me a message. He's got it straight away off that clue. What if this guy, I can't believe I'm dishing out clues for the second one. What if he was currently a manager round about your level of the game currently, Scott Allen?
Alan Mabry.
Oh, he's one of the answers, but he's not that one. So you've got yourself out of a hole
he's
there.
He's one of the answers, but he's not that one.
So he's not
Gary
the guy,
Smith.
He's not the guy that I was trying to tell you about.
Right, but he is there.
But he's there, Alan Mabry. See, what did you say earlier? Sometimes you can arrive
at the right solution by the wrong.
You've just done. Okay. Come on. This is poor. This is really poor.
This is probably the one we've struggled with most here.
Right, there are a few high profile managers in your. You have one of them in Charlie McGrew. It's not him, he's never played. Who are the other high profile managers in your league?
Gary Naismith.
No.
He's not high profile.
Well, he is, but he's not played for Celtic or Rangers either, and he's not played for Hibs. Oh my goodness.
Wait.
Did he play for Rangers or Celtic recently?
No. Celtic, Hearts and Hibs, and he manages in League One. I mean, seriously. This is the worst. We've scraped the barrel. This is an all-time low. We will get the answer to this specific part of the teaser before we worry about the rest.
Oh, Paul Hartley.
My goodness. Paul Hartley. Hope he's not listening, by the way. We will get the rest next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been a quick show. We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. They're doing a bit of work on this teaser. Can you name the seven players since 1990 who've played for Hearts and Hibs in the Edinburgh Derby? Can you name them? So Paul Hartley, we got there eventually. Alan Mabry, Michael Stewart. That's your three so far.
James Keatings.
James Keatings, good shout, well done.
Darren Jackson.
Yes, Darren Jackson. Two to get. One right from the start of this time frame, and one much more recently. So you've, in fact, you've probably got the most recent one still to get, and the furthest back one, if that's the case. We're just about to get underway at Firhill between Partick Thistle and Livingston. Mark Wilson and Brian Graham in charge of the team. The camera just zoomed in on Robbie Muirhead there. You see his last minute winner for Livy against Ayr, the free kick. Yeah. His goal celebration.
His celebration was good, but the finish,
it was good,
incredible.
Was it? Is that the type of celebration you would encourage?
Nah, I wouldn't do it myself personally, nah. But
have you seen it, Hugh?
No.
Yeah, I think the less said about it, the better.
Oh, really?
I just kind of
risky.
I mean, yeah, that's a great word for it, because I was really scrambling there to think about how I was going to describe that to you. Yeah, we'll just leave it. I think we will. Oh, do you know what? I'll get Mark Wilson and Gordon DL to explain it to you tomorrow.
Okay.
It's probably for the best. There he is.
There he is.
The Maryhill Mourinho Mark, yeah. Wilson is on the screen. Oh, he's looking serious. Stopwatch.
Smartly brushed.
What's he got stop? I mean,
has he got a tracksuit on?
I think he's got a few layers on. I'm going to pull him up on that tomorrow. Does he need the stopwatch?
Not sure why.
Do you imagine he needs the stopwatch?
Usually the manager wouldn't have it someday on the bench.
There's nobody else, remember. He's the 18s manager. Yeah, he's in charge.
That's true.
And the women's manager is up front.
It might be for things to clip during the game, so he knows what minute it's on.
That's what he's doing, his own analysis while he's in the dugout.
A lot of teams do that. So you have someone up in the stand.
I just like
the radio and say,
but
clip
it's a
that.
Proper stopwatch though. Can he just like use his phone or anything, or his watch?
It's a PE teacher one.
He's got
it?
A watch, do you know what I mean? Does it need to be one of those Casio 1994 ones?
He's very smartly dressed. He's brushed his hair. Too many of them look like vagrants nowadays. And there he is, very smart.
Anyway, we'll get back to more important footballing matters. There are still time.
Richard Forster's not on that list, is he?
No, that's one of your roguest shouts, yeah. I have to say, because he's, I don't think he's played for Hibs or Hearts, has
no,
he?
I haven't.
Oh no,
that's a drawback.
We've tired you out. You were doing fine up until that point.
Throw in a couple of positions for us, please.
Fullback, the most recent one's a fullback, and he is still playing in England, and he's not Scottish. Okay. Now listen, there's plenty of time to worry about that. Let's take a look.
Oh, I know who it is.
Oh.
Go on then.
Dimitri Michel Mitchell.
I just call him Mitchell, but if you know more than me about the exotic nature of his name, is that the Nokia beeping there, was it?
Maybe somebody
in the lift.
Maybe
the lift home.
Maybe the old hibby in the family try to bail me out.
Really, here. Better not, because you've only got one to get. So we'll get it before the end of the show. Right, let's take a look at some of the other talking points tomorrow. I think we're well versed on Rangers and Barry Ferguson and homecoming and Motherwell being the visitors. Listen, we've spoken about Celtic, but I think mostly through a VAR Daizen Maeda type lens. St Mirren away, does that fall into a? Well, it's not as difficult a category as Easter Road, because Hibs are one of the informed teams. But it's one of the places you can come unstuck. Yeah,
it's rarely a smooth one for Celtic. You know, and I think
the pitch is really poor just now.
Yeah,
as well.
In among all the stuff about Daizen Maeda, Nicholas Coon, etc. At the back, there's been some ropey goals lost. As I say, the two goals lost to Hibs last weekend at Easter Road, decidedly ropey. In the midst of an absolute canter against Aberdeen, another ropey goal lost, and Austin Trusty happens to be involved in a lot of them.
To be fair, and I'll cut you slack in the sense that this game is away, so that makes it more valid. Nobody scored at Celtic Park apart from Aberdeen.
Yeah,
three in all season. It's not bad, is it?
I'm only taking into account the fact that the second half for Celtic against Aberdeen on Tuesday was a training session. They were just so dominant it wasn't funny if you were Jimmy Tilleen. But in the midst of all of that, they then contrived to lose. And you could see Kasper Schmeichel kicking the goalpost in frustration because he didn't want his clean sheet to be disrupted. But it was a poor goal to lose. And as I say, the two goals lost to Hibs were both poor as well. So, you know, in Mandron and in Olasanya, Stephen Robinson is players who could unnerve, in particular, Austin Trusty.
I do like the Hugh Keevan standards where 15 goals is all they've conceded, but he wants more. And I don't mind it, because listen, you've got to strive. And I think you're right to particularly St Mirren, though, if you want to do that as the focus rather than being some sort of Celtic weakness, because I don't think those numbers back that up. But Mandron and Olasanya are a nightmare, Scott, to play against, you would imagine.
Yeah, obviously, physical attributes and pace and a bit of quality in there as well. I just think I'd be very surprised to see Celtic go back-to-back away defeats. Exactly. I just think they have too much quality. In saying that, I was at Hibs St Mirren a few weeks back, and the pitch had a real impact in the game, especially in the midfield area. So, but even that said, I can't see past a Celtic win.
Kilmarnock, Hugh, Ross County, Kilmarnock, that is 9th against 10th, separated by one solitary point with 10 games to go this season. How big is that?
Yeah, it's big. Derek McInnes, after 20 minutes, he's two up on Rangers, and the Jamaican international misses the chance of the night. I mean, honestly, I would have scored that. And I say this in jest.
This is Marley Watkins, and that refers to a recent teaser mistake from Hugh, if you're wondering.
Well, if I made a teaser mistake, he made a serious mistake in missing that chance. Had it gone 3-0, who knows how that match might have ended. But it's over and done with now. They fell apart. When Rangers got to 2-2, it was anything you like. So they're going to Ross County, and they are going to have to be careful, because down at the bottom, it's anybody's guess now, because St Johnstone are just making a nuisance of themselves.
Yeah, huge game that one, for sure. Really looking forward to that. And I mean, then even bigger, Dundee St Johnstone, 11th against 12th. Now only 3 points between them, Scott. I don't think you would have predicted that a few, maybe a month or two ago, a couple of months ago.
No, you wouldn't. You felt Tony Dock was a kind of steady hand in terms of that Dundee side, but they've just, as obviously we've done it and beat the pundit, five losses in a row, not good reading. Conceding goals constantly, really poor goals at that. Both boxes not really doing enough. When you kind of get that at this stage of the season, it doesn't usually bode well. And St Johnstone have picked up the odd result here and there and have a certain way of playing. So a huge game for Dundee, but I think St Johnstone could put them to the sword.
And in the tops, third play fifth when Aberdeen play Dundee United. And as the teaser suggests, the Edinburgh Derby. What are you saying, Mr Hibbs?
I fancy Hibbs.
Because it's Easter Road, because of the run, or what?
Just the run. I think the run, you look at some of the criticism that David Gray came in for early in the season, and we were losing games by a goal or so down to individual errors. How he's turned that around and got this side firing the way they have. 14 unbeaten.
Yeah, I wouldn't take anything away from David Gray. I love a story like that where a man's bottom of the league and people are howling for his head, and he transforms the side. But I will say, luck's on their side. I mean, they get away with one against Celtic, which, you know, it should have been an equaliser for Dyson Maeda, and then they get away with an even bigger one against Dundee United 4 days later, when Sam Dalby's goal is wrongly disallowed.
See, just out of curiosity, and I'm not interested in opening old VAR wounds, do you think it did hit his hand? Because this is the whole issue about proof versus, but I'm just interested in your thought.
I've only had television highlight evidence, and on the basis of the television highlights, no, didn't hit his hand.
Yeah, I thought it hit his hand.
See, I think it does as well, but again, that's not the issue. Before any Dundee United fans get upset, I get that. It's about, can you actually prove it, because it's a VAR decision. Yeah. But just if you made me pick, do you think it hit his arm? I think it did, but I was just more curious. It is going to be, I think, you know, does David Gray deserve credit, Scott, as well? Because it's not like things just turned. You know, he made it happen. He's changed shape. It's been a huge...
He changed shape, he changed personnel, he changed the goalkeeper at that stage of the season, which you don't see often. He made a new number one and he came in. And at the same time, the first game he came in, he had two howlers in the game.
Can I just say, right, this Opening 7 minutes of Partick Thistle Livy has been vintage Scottish football. Nothing's happened, by the way. They've not scored any goals, but the linesman got absolutely smashed to the ground by a combination of Logan Chalmers and Christian Montano. Ryan McGowan then went over to get a note handed to him from David Martindale. He couldn't quite open the note. He had to give it back for Davy to open, and I then think they were reading it upside down, and he's handed it back and he's gone in. So brilliant. Hopefully the standard of football picks up. Since 1997, players have played for both Hearts and Hibs in the derby. Name them: Darren Jackson, Paul Hartley, Alan Mabry, James Keatings, Michael Stewart, Dimitri Mitchell. You've got one to get, Hugh. It's more your era than Scott's.
Can we get a first name?
A first name?
Does his first name begin with a P?
No.
Right.
So he played for Hibs 89 to 95, and then straight to Hearts 95-96. So that was kind of peak. You know, he played Falkirk as well, St Mirren.
Fullback?
I mean, it's before my time. I think midfielder.
What's his first name?
He was in the St Mirren Cup winning team 87, I think. His first name, Brian. That changes things.
Oh,
Brian Hamilton. We're out of time.
Oh, it was gone.
Well, did you? Thank you very much to Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans. We're back tomorrow from 2 o'clock. Clyde One Super Scoreboard at the weekend. Always look forward to those big weekends. So enjoy your Friday in the company of the GBX.